In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This year I'm coaching a basketball team for my son, which was not by choice. There was only 6 kids. Nobody else would do it, so I was stuck, or they weren't going to play. So I'm doing that. And because they couldn't find a coach, we only had 1 practice before our first game. Well, the teams we're playing are much better than us, so I determined we need to play a zone defense. This is our best hope of having any chance. So first practice, I teach a zone defense. And I think, you know, it's pretty simple, not that hard. And they seem like they got it, so it's all good. Then we had our last game Sunday afternoon, and they did not get it. They did not get it at all. And in fact, we had kids all over the court while the opposite team was shooting layup after layup. So I use this just as a simple kind of funny example that there are things sometimes we just don't get. And, you know, it may seem simple to us. It may seem simple to other people, but we just don't really comprehend what's going on. And interestingly enough, according to St. Paul, he says that's what the love of Jesus is like. Now, we say to that, well, wait a minute. We get the love of Jesus. This is not hard, we say, right? Jesus loves me. I know that. I've known that since I was a kid, little kid, and I learned the song. But it's really not so simple as you think. And there are very many times that we simply do not get it. We don't comprehend. So Paul says in the epistle today that he is praying, and certainly I am praying for all of us as well, the same thing, that we would get it. He says that we would be able, that we would have the strength to comprehend the vastness, just how big God's love really is. He says the breadth of it, the length of it, the height of it, the depth of it. To know this love that surpasses even knowing. Okay, so for instance, what if you're in jail and if you're in prison? Does God still love you? Because that's where Paul is writing from. He's in jail in Rome. And you can imagine some of the people he's writing to are saying, well, what is going on here? If God loves him, what's he doing in prison? And of course, with Paul, he hadn't even done anything wrong. All he did was just tell people that Jesus was the Messiah. So what's the deal? Does God really love him? So he tells him, very first verse of our reading today, he says, hey, now I'm paraphrasing. He says, hey, don't lose heart because I'm in prison. Don't lose heart because you see me suffering. Don't think that God doesn't love me. This, sitting in prison, is nothing. You guys don't get it, he says. The love of Christ is so much greater than any prison. With the love of Jesus, in other words, you really have to think big. I mean, if we're going to get it, that is. We got to be able to see big. So his love for us is far bigger, far greater than anything this world is going to throw at us. For instance, like prison. His love is far greater than prison. His love is far greater even than death, than losing someone. His love is far greater than a divorce. His love is far wider than losing money or having no money. His love is far higher than our miserable sins. His love is far deeper than the depths of depression or anxiety. His love is always going to be far broader than any of our troubles. And in fact, if you want to think of it this way, if you ever think that God isn't loving you or is against you, then it's a sure sign you're not getting it, that you're not comprehending it. You maybe are thinking that the love of Jesus is just some simple, easy thing. What if, another example, what if your husband dies and then, not that long after, your only son dies? What then? Does God still love you? Because those are the 2 cases we have in our scripture readings today, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the widow that Elijah was staying with, her son becomes very ill and he dies. And right away she concludes, God doesn't love me. And those aren't, I'm not putting those words in her mouth. That's what she says. She yells at Elijah and says, why did you do this? Why did you even come here? You just came here to remind me of my sins and make me pay for them, didn't you? So, Elijah understands what she's thinking. If you can remember any details about Elijah, there were many times where he himself felt that way, that God must not love him. In fact, one time after this, he goes and sits under a tree and prays that he would die. He wasn't getting it either. He wasn't comprehending how great God's love is. But God's love is far greater than even losing a husband and a son. Now, to prove that to us, Elijah takes her son and raises him back to life. And she says to him, now I get it. Now I know, now I see, now I comprehend that the word of the Lord is truth, that he really does love sinners like me. The love of God in Jesus is greater even than a dead son. In the gospel reading, it happens again. Another widow, another dead son. Only this time it's not Elijah, it's Jesus himself. And he sees her coming out of that city. So they're on their way up to the city. He sees her coming out and he sees right away she doesn't get it. She doesn't think God loves her. She's lost her husband. She's lost her son. All she sees is misery and grief. And he sees it and he wants her to know just how great God's love is for her. He wants her to comprehend and to know just how broad and how long and how high and how deep is God's love for her. And so, Jesus wants you and me to know that he came not just for her dead son, but for every dead son, for every grieving mother. He came for every widow, and he wants us to know that he is stronger even than death itself. See, if you can get into Paul's argument here, basically he's saying that the love of Jesus is so broad, which is so wide, it's so high, it's so deep, and it's so long that there is no way, you know, you take any trouble that you're having and put it right there in his love, and there's no way that your trouble is even going to compare to the love that he has for you in Jesus. I mean, notice how quickly this widow, she goes from the depths of despair to the heights of joy. How long does it take? One word. Arise, he says to her son. Her son gets up and she's rejoicing. We tend to think that, see, we reverse it. We tend to think my troubles are so huge and so vast. You know, we take our own little lives and we blow them up to these huge proportions and our concerns. So to us, our life is this great big ocean and we've got Hurricane Florence, you know, swirling around there, surging and crashing. And then we think God's love is just like this small drop that, oh, maybe is going to make us feel better or something like that, but doesn't really do anything. That's why Paul says to you and me, you don't get it. You just don't get it. You don't get God's love. The truth is that we are the tiny drop of water, and God's love is the vast ocean. And this woman's dead son is one small dot of death against the mighty giver and redeemer of life. Or Paul's small prison sentence here is one small drop of captivity against the Lord who sets all of us free. There's never anywhere that you will go in this life where Jesus Christ and his love is not near. That's what Paul wants us to comprehend. How broad, how long, how high, how deep is God's love in Jesus Christ. So, you know, I'll try to picture this a couple ways, and I hope it just helps. Okay, just take the entire earth right now from right here in El Paso, all the way across the breadth of the earth. So cut all the way through the earth, somewhere to the very other side in Asia somewhere. Take that. take from the very height of the North Pole down to the depth of the South Pole. The Earth is 200 million square miles. Is there anywhere, you can go anywhere on this Earth, in the depths or width of it, that the love of Christ will not be near you? Just try to comprehend how great and vast is His love. You take the troubles of Woodford County, that's just a drop in the ocean of His love. Or even the winds of Hurricane Florence are a light breeze compared to the breath of His mouth. It covers the entire earth, His love, His forgiveness, His peace. I mean, another way to think of it is even the sun. Right, we think the sun is so incredible, but even the sun in all its glory can only cover part of the earth at a time. But God's love is so vast that it covers the entire thing all the time. And this Jesus, your Savior, has done for you the one thing that you absolutely need more than all. He has raised you from death to life. Like the widow's son, we were on our way to our graves. Every single one of us was. Just as many sinners still are today. We were lost in our sin, lost in death, and Jesus stopped our funeral procession and said, not arise like He did to this young man, but He said, I baptize you. And we were brought from death into His life. And His compassion, the compassion He has for us, the mercy He has for us, the grace and peace He has for us, have completely overwhelmed us and given us new life. So one last thing about getting this love. It's a funny phrase that Paul uses at the end of the reading today. He prays that we would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Which, if you break down that phrase, is really funny. To know something that's beyond knowledge. How can you even do that? To know something that surpasses knowing. Well, the only way that you can know something that surpasses knowing, the only way you can know how vast and great and broad and long and high and deep is this love of Christ, is if God gives you that knowledge by the power of His Holy Spirit and His Holy Word. The only way you're going to see how much God loves you is if He lifts you up way past El Paso. Okay, I mean, just Try seeing how vast the earth is standing right here on the earth. You're not going to see it. So to see how great God's love is, He's got to lift us way up past ourselves, past El Paso, past Illinois, past the United States, past the whole earth, and hold us above the entire galaxy and show us Jesus, our Savior, on the cross and say, this is how much I love you. So friends in Christ, I will pray the same thing Paul prayed, that according to the riches of His glory, may the Father grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.